We already can do it, but I think it can be much better in the speed of installation and in the amount of money that you can spare by not introducing any special, for example, noise cancellation measures.
Offshore wind energy has gone through tremendous developments in recent years. Innovation was a key driver for its success. If offshore wind wants to make a lasting contribution to the energy transition, the sector must continue to innovate. I am David De Jager of GROW, a consortium with a joint research program in offshore wind. In this podcast series, I want to give you an impression of the key research and innovations that will shape the future of offshore wind. Okay, we are here in the Stevin Laboratory at the Technical University of Delft, and I'm here with André Metrikin. You are a professor, and what's your official title, André?
My official title is Anthony van Leeuwenhoek Professor.
Anthony van Leeuwenhoek yeah. Professor, okay. And what is the area, the topic that you are working on?
So I'm physicist by education, so I work basically, as I said, on the dynamics of structures in interaction with everything, such as water, soil, ice, people.
And we are here to basically to talk about an innovation and a process of innovation that you are closely involved in, and that has a nice title, The Gentle Driving of Piles. And yeah. The piles here are monopiles, the foundations of wind turbines. So what is the gentle driving of piles innovation?
Well, the innovation is related to the necessity to drive big piles offshore into the ground quick and as noiseless as possible. Mm-hmm. And so the GDP pretends to be able to do it.
And you are using vibrations to do that. And what's the novelty of the GDP ID?
Yeah. I'm a dynamicist, so of course I'm using vibrations, right? So there is no doubt about this. The novelty is twofold. So the first one is in the direction of vibrations, because usually people were always vibrating the piles down by applying the vertical forcing.
Yeah.
There are also patents where the vertical forces are assisted by rotation around some kind of horizontal axis. And the novelty of the GTP is that the major driving assistance comes from the torsion. So rotation or vibration around the vertical axis.
Okay.
So this is the major novelty, one of those. And the second one is the high frequency that we apply, which is, well, a number of times higher than the frequencies which are currently used.
So you're combining it? You have a vertical vibration?
We are combining it for now,
yeah.
Because of, well, we need to make sure that the technique works. And there, I'm, of course, quite modest, but I think it does work, especially with the assistance of the vertical vibrations. But I do think that it can also be done just by torsion.
Okay.
But we will see in the tests.
And the normal way today is by impact hammering. So that's basically hammering a pile into the ground, and that generates a lot of noise. But that's not the only problem, I believe. If the monopiles become bigger, then it's not only the noise generation, but it's basically also the hammering itself. That's not the best solution to drive a pile into the ground.
Well, I always would like to give credits to all techniques. So I think the impact pile driving will remain as one of the techniques for the following reason. That yes, people usually commonly say, so I'm first going to give positive notion about impact pile driving. Currently, the impact pile driving is, well, really, really, a common technique. So, which comes from the ancient times, I think, when something was dropped on the pile and, the thing would go down. Now it's done with huge hydraulic hammers, but the major principle remains that the impact is very short. Nobody says that it has to stay short. Nowadays, we can make impact as long and as, you know, funny as we want.
Yeah.
So the time signature could be elongated, can be non-constant force, so we can work towards this. So there will be a room also for impact pile driving. However, my heart is with the vibratory pile driving for the following reason, that whatever we do with impact pile driving, we excite, as we say in science, a wide spectrum of frequencies. So many frequencies at once. And whether they are in the lower part of the frequencies or higher depends on the duration of the impact.
Mm-hmm.
And these frequencies, all of them influence marine life. All of them. So one way or another, we really should let these frequencies go down, but also the intensity of those frequencies should go down. And with the impact pile driving, I think we can modify the spectrum, but the intensity will be there. Now, the classical vibratory pile driving is already good in the sense that even though it does radiate noise, and actually quite a lot, it radiates it at specific frequencies, and it's easier to capture. Now, what the GDP tries to do, it tries really to diminish this radiation at all, the intensity. How do we do it? That's the main idea maybe about the torsion. The torsion of the cylinder, which is a pile, it's a monopile, is the only mode of motion which does not excite any radial expansion of the pile.
Yeah.
And it is the radial expansion that radiates noise. The other moments don't. And that's the winning part.
If you have the impact, then the cylinder becomes a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
And it goes wider and smaller all the time.
Exactly. And this motion radiates noise. If you can remove it, and theoretically the torsion completely removes it, well, reality, of course, always is slightly different.
Yeah.
But at least we know that the radiation of noise will be significantly less.
And that's the idea.
This is one of the ideas.
Yeah.
This is one of the ideas. I also do think that it's most interesting combination of motions, actually, when you have a vertical load, either vibratory or just a weight, and a torsional. That's beneficial also for the progress of the pile, but that is not as obvious as the noise.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Well, we have, under the GROW umbrella, have the GDP project that was already with using big piles, but there are probably some steps before that you have also had to make. So this is our idea, and then what next?
Yeah, so we are really blessed by the support of the community and of the industry, right, in this development. So we have a sequence of projects. We started actually in this lab with a very small pile. I hope that we can link a movie to this interview later on. You will see how funny that is.
Rather primitive.
Sophisticated
primitive.
It's primitive, but also looks very futuristic.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm curious.
Then we went with GDP, what we call now 1.0. That time it was just GDP, right? And we did show to the whole world, if you wish, that the technique works for the piles of 1 meter, about 1 meter diameter, and about 15 meters long. But we only showed this in sand.
Yeah, you did it at the Tweede Maasvlakte.
Tweede Maasvlakte with experiments.
And made some comparisons also with other...
With the other driving techniques.
Yeah.
Although, of course, when we speak about the comparison it in the field, it's always difficult, because you cannot find in reality the soil which is exactly the same in all positions. And you can also not, let's say, make final conclusions by comparing piles only on 1 meter diameter. But at least already there, GDP really gave very good confidence that it might be really good. Yeah? So that's where we are. That's why two new projects have already been granted. So we call them GDP 1.2 and GDP 2.0. CMOX.
Yeah.
So in GDP 1.2, we will solve two questions, answer two questions. One, we will demonstrate that the technique works in clay as well, not only in sand. And second, we will show how far we can reduce the energy for the pile driving. Why is it necessary? Because the higher the frequency, the bigger, in principle, the energy you have to put in, unless you accompany the increase of the frequency by decreasing the amplitude. Yeah. And that was not done yet. Also, we are going to automate the pile driving technique in GDP 1.2. Why is it necessary as well? Why was it not done, let's say, at a gross scale? The reason is that even with vibratory driving, nowadays you only have one more or less tap to turn. More energy, less energy.
Yeah, yeah.
And what we'll have four parameters. Two amplitudes, vertical and torsional, and two frequencies. Four of them. How to choose the best? Well, that's not possible by trial and error. It has to be a sensor, and that's what we are going to develop.
Okay, so the sensors will give feedback, and you will basically see, okay, now it's going really smooth, so then we are at the right parameters.
We are going to automate it. Yeah. And then CMOX is really an exciting project where many companies are participating, where we have a number of goals to compare all the non-classical impact techniques, which are present at least in the Netherlands. And also, we will try to certify one of those. And I'm very happy that GDP is one of the techniques which will be also present there.
Yeah. We definitely come back in this series on the CMOX, I hope, or CIMOX, whatever name we want to give it. So the first phase of this GDP 1 is now, I think, almost completed. So what is then the deliverable? Is it a big report telling this is a promising technique? Is that the summary?
So normally the university is focused and should be focused as well on long-term research. That's our, you know, major task. On the other hand, the industry, of course, wants results relatively quickly, right? And both aims are absolutely justifiable. Now, the question is, how do you combine those? And I think that GDP is a really good example of this. So what we did, we employed three PhD students who are working for 4 years. So that's long-term research. But we also employed a number of postdocs, a professional manager, and professional, let's say, people who can work with the sites, field sites. And then during the first year, we entirely focused on an experimental campaign, which generated a lot of data. And this data is interesting directly to the industry. It demonstrated the potential of the GDP, and it demonstrated a lot of new things which nobody actually was focused on before. That's one of the major deliverables. But then also this deliverable, being a direct deliverable, also is an intermediate deliverable for the PhD students, because now they use this data in order to develop brand new models which are better than the other ones. That's a second major deliverable that we have. And if you wish, the third major deliverable, which is not written anywhere in the proposal, was that as a next step, like a CMOX, the writing of the proposal was done in a brand new, for me at least, manner, when university and companies and GROW came together and wrote the proposal really together. And I think without the GDP, this would have never happened.
So André, which parties are involved in the GDP?
We are blessed with a long list of parties of all different types. So there are contractors like Fanord, Eneco, Boskalis, Seaway Heavy Lifting, RWE. There are, of course, big internationals like Shell, for example. There are also equipment suppliers like IHC and Cape Holland. There are also smaller but very promising companies like DOT. And there, of course, the knowledge institutes, TNO, Deltares, alongside TU Delft.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think this shows that indeed by combining these expertise, you can do more than just sitting in your lab, which is, of course, not what you would like to do all the time.
That is of course, true. And I think nobody would question it. The question always comes, how do you achieve really the mode of working together? And that has been achieved in the GDP 1.0, and I think it will be achieved also in the follow-ups. And that's what I'm really proud of. Huh?
When can we expect the first GDP shaker to be operating for these huge monopiles?
Yeah, that is of course a good question. Well, in my head, even 1 month ago, that the answer would be 5 years. Now that the industry, and I did not mention, by the way, SIF, which is a very important company in the GDP, the SIF actually took one of the initiatives to say, guys, we need to do it fast. And we are going to help. And with this support, maybe that can be shortened to about 3 years. Yeah. That's the idea now. And there are many companies who are interested in this. DOT is really helping a lot. The IHC, but now also the Cape Holland is prepared to help, and maybe the other companies as well.
Yeah, because if you look at the tender, for instance, for Hollandse Kust West, I think the minimum capacity in the tender will be a 40 megawatt turbine, with of course a huge foundation, a huge monopile. If we would have to build that tomorrow, could we do that in a silent or within the regulations of noise, or would we definitely? Are we waiting for the GDP type of technology?
Well, it depends, of course, on the levels of noise and on the levels of disturbance. We already can do it, but I think it can be much better, and that's what GDP is aiming at. Basically, to do it much better in the following sense: in the speed of installation, and also in the amount of money that you can spare by not introducing any special, for example, noise cancellation measures.
Yeah.
That's what the GDP is aiming at. But on the other hand, as any novel technique, it has some questions still to answer, and that's what we are doing currently. There is yet another idea, at least around and in my head as well. We need to demonstrate the superiority of this technique as fast as possible, and not even in 3 years. The question is, can we do it? Well, and the answer is yes. And I must admit that the idea was brought to my head by somebody else, by Jan van der Tempel, actually. He said, okay, guys, we need to decommission the piles by DGP.
Yeah.
Because, there are a lot of sensitive structures next to which their old turbines are standing. And if you say that GDP doesn't disturb the environment, that's the technique. Maybe we will do it much quicker. There, we go for decommissioning with the GDP. Also, the piles there are smaller. The older wind turbines are based on 3 meters monopiles.
Yeah.
And we can already do it now.
It has been done with normal shakers, but GDP can definitely contribute.
But also the GDP, I think, can already now do it.
Yeah. And that could contribute to, let's say, also a circular design and operation of wind energy.
Absolutely, because basically, in my view, most of the methods of removal of the offshore structures nowadays, which are cutting the monopiles either above the sea level or above the sea floor or below, are not acceptable nowadays because we leave the trunks of steel in there. That should not be allowed, in my view. And the vibratory driving and some other GROW projects, by the way, aim to remove them in full.
Yeah. Oh, that's so, yeah. So it's, I think, a very exciting area to work on. I trust that you there come more ideas in the future that help to do this. Yeah, there was a question from Harold van der Meijlen Meijer. And let's listen to his question.
Yeah, the question is, for pile driving, it's important that you produce less noise. Is it an idea to rotate the whole pile and make a sort of grinding edges on the bottom and just drill it like a meergatenboor? I don't know the English word for it.
Let me answer it like this. I think every technique can, in principle, be applied. And in the oil and gas industry, drilling for installation of piles has been done many times, not only for oil and gas, really for installation of the piles, but of much smaller diameters, of course, less than a meter. I do think that this will be not economical. I do think it will be not economical, because imagine a drill of 10 meters diameter to bring it to the offshore. And also, I think to guarantee the embedment of the pile and the bearing capacity of the soil after drilling will be more challenging than with a vibrator installation, for example. The noise will also be not too low. Let's put it like this. So my answer would be yes, it can be a solution, but I do not believe this is the most economical solution.
All right. The bearing capacity, is that expected to be different if you hammer a pile into the ground and if you vibrate it into the ground, or if you do it via GDP type of vibration?
There is no consensus in the scientific community about this. And because of this, by the way, the vibratory technologies have not been yet certified. My personal opinion is that the vibratory techniques are definitely not worse than the impact techniques in that sense. We are going to demonstrate it. We are going to demonstrate it. Up to now, we only managed to demonstrate it at the within the GDP project, that the installation by the GDP method does not compromise the soil bearing capacity at all in comparison with impact driving. Moreover, the small strain stiffness of the soil, as we call it, meaning that assume that vibrations are small in amplitude, which is the case in most of the operations, we have shown that the GDP increases this small strain stiffness, which is also positive for and can allow us to spare some money, because it means that we can put after installation the turbines in operation quicker, because normally we have to wait for quite
to settle it, so
to settle.
Oh yeah. How do you measure bearing capacity of a monopile? What do you do?
Yeah, that's not easy, and that's why the device has been made in this lab. So what we do is we install a big pile at a certain distance of the monopile, which has been installed by the GDP, right? Then we have a kind of a steel arm, which is cyclically moved horizontally, such that the pile to be tested moves also left and right. So, and then we measure the soil resistance by means of measuring, of course, in this robotic arm, what the force is.
So, André, thank you for having us here and introducing us to the gentle driving of piles. I wish you a lot of success with all these next steps, and I'm looking forward to meet again at the test site or even offshore, just looking at this very promising technology. All the best.
Sure, thank you.
The research presented in this podcast series is supported by TKI Wind op Zee and the Netherlands Enterprise Agency. Would you like to learn more about this research? Check out the show notes, where you'll find a reference to the Grow to Go web magazine.